Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. This is going to be good. You're going to like this. It's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. 2 Chronicles 17. And let's pray before we start. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the walk that we have with you. And Lord, thank you that you're constantly calling us into something that's deeper and more pure. And Lord, as we're looking at Jehoshaphat and his godliness, Lord, but also his compromise, Lord, we just pray that you teach us the things that we need to see in these passages, Lord, and that we learn from them. It's always better to learn from somebody else's mistakes than our own. And so, God, we just pray that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church, and Lord, that we wouldn't walk out of here fools just ignoring it and going on in our own ways. And so we just give you the time and pray that you bless it, that you do this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, chapter 17. This is the reign of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's kind of an interesting character because he's one of the good kings of Israel. He's a good guy. But one of the problems with this guy is that even though he was a godly king, he was intrigued by, he was interested in and influenced by the pagan northern kingdom of Israel. He had this thing, Jehoshaphat is king of Judah, while Ahab is king of Israel. Ahab is the worst king that Israel had, and his wife is Jezebel. You probably heard of Jezebel, even if you've never read the story about Ahab in the Bible. This is a guy who brought Baal worship into northern Israel full force. Jezebel, his wife, came from up around the area of Tyre and Sidon. And she was just a full-on pagan, and she went after the prophets of God in Israel with a vengeance. She had a number of men killed and just kind of cemented the cult of Baal in northern Israel in ways that had never been seen before. One of the things that these people were into, again, was child sacrifice. And so just over-the-top evil is what's happening. Then you have Jehoshaphat, and he's the son of Asa. We talked about Asa last week, and Asa was a good king for the most part, especially in the early part of his reign. And Jehoshaphat is a product, most likely, of Asa's godly walk. And even though Asa compromised in the end, and when he got older and messed up in some areas, it looks like the godliness of Asa was passed on to Jehoshaphat. In any case, in verse 1, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah." And so even though we're going to see that Jehoshaphat has this inordinate interest in the pagan kingdom of Israel, and specifically in Ahab, one of the things that's weird about this guy is that he recognizes the danger that comes from this guy. He realizes the threat that northern Israel poses against the kingdom of Judah, and he fortifies himself against it. And again, you see that in verse 2. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah. This is one of those things about people who are attracted by the world. It's really interesting. Most often, I've seen this in people who grew up in church. They understand that the world's not good. They understand that their walk with God is something that's awesome, but there's still this attraction there. And they, you know, it's almost like a moth to the flame type of situation. It's just a weird thing. And of all guys in the Bible, for Jehoshaphat to be interested in the life and the lifestyle of Ahab, it's just really weird. It's really weird. You know, the Bible says that we're not to love the world. Love not the world nor the things in the world. And Jehoshaphat, again, this is one of the areas where this guy compromises. But even though he has this desire, and even though he has this interest, he also at the very same time sees the danger. He recognizes what's going on. So he goes through and he fortifies himself against the northern kingdom of Israel. The other thing that you see in this passage is the commendation of God and the fact that Jehoshaphat was walking in the ways of David. If you look in verse 3, it says, "Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and he did not seek the Baals." Former ways is talking about the early times. Former and latter, that's how it goes in grammar. So former is the early times of somebody's life. The latter is the latter times or the later times of somebody's life. And so what he's talking about is the former times of David. Your translation may have Asa in there. It depends on what translation you have. But it doesn't really matter in the sense that it could be either one of those, because both David and Asa had somewhat the same history. When you look at the former times of David, he was a guy who was just in love with the Lord. Remember Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want." You know, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures," that whole thing. David wrote that when he was a shepherd boy out watching sheep. And you look at some of the Psalms that David wrote, the heart that he had and the love that he had for the Lord. And it's just a really cool thing. He had a spiritual walk. He had the joy of the Lord. And again, Asa, Jehoshaphat's father, was exactly the same. In David's later years and also in Asa's later years, you see compromise, and there are times when you see a lack of trust in God. It's almost like they get used to God being around, and they don't have the love for him anymore. It's kind of like a marriage. You know how that goes? When you first get married, you're all in love, and you know, it's like the person you're married to is the one that you want to be around all the time, and then pretty soon you get used to her, right? And you start taking her for granted and that kind of thing. And it can mess up a relationship when you start getting too familiar in that kind of sense. One of the things that we need to be watching out for in our relationships is that we make sure that we're on top of it, constantly, you know, communicating and spending time with each other and that kind of thing. And it's just promoting the love that's supposed to be there, right? That's what we always talk about in marriage relationships. Well, the Bible says that our relationship with God is like a marriage relationship. It's exactly the same type of situation. I need to be promoting that whole thing. I need to be going after it with the Lord. And so I need to be focusing on communicating with him. You don't communicate, just talking to the guys, you don't communicate with your guy. Well, let's try an experiment. For the next 6 months, don't say anything but to your wife. You know, never communicate with her. See how that goes, right? Or if you do communicate with her, just ask her for stuff. Just always come to her and say, "Honey, can you get me this? Honey, can you get me that? Honey, can you do this for me? Honey, can you do that for me?" And the wives are going, "That's all he does anyway." See how that goes. And again, you know, obviously you can see the parallels there. We need to have an awesome relationship with God, and there needs to be a real love for the Lord in our hearts. And when you have that love, when you have that spiritual walk, you get the joy of the Lord. There's joy. And you're not just a grumpy, you know, Christian. One of the things that's cool about Jehoshaphat, and I've seen this again with kids that grew up in believing homes. You look at his father Asa, there's a lot of stuff that you can look at in Asa's life that you can see there, and it's just awesome. There are also major failures in Asa's life. And one of the things I've noticed about people who want to make excuses for their lack of a walk with God is that they'll focus in on their parents' failures. They'll focus in on the failures they see in the leadership that they've been involved with. And Jehoshaphat could have done that with his father Asa. He could have done it with his great-great-great-grandfather David. He could have looked at him and said, "Well, yeah, they started out right, but look at how they ended up. David committed adultery. David did this. David did that. And my father Asa," and that kind of stuff. And have an excuse to just walk away from the Lord. But instead, what he does is he walks in David's former ways. You know, one of the things that we need to not be doing is just looking at the bad and ignoring the good. One of the problems that we've got with anybody that's around us that's going to be any kind of example to us is that they all have feet of clay. They're all just men. They're all just women. They all fall down. They all mess up. And if you want to just focus on the negative in somebody's life, you can find plenty of negative. And if you can't find any negative in my life, I can give you lists of negative things. My wife could probably give you more, right? Yeah. Okay. There you go. Awesome answer. And we just need to understand that about people. You know, it's like people are just people, but what God does through them is a pretty awesome thing. And so we need to be focusing in on that. You've heard about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? You understand that picture. So you got a baby, they're dirty, you put them in the bathtub, you start washing them up, and the water gets filthy. And when you get all done with that whole thing, you decide to throw the water out, but you throw the baby out too. That's the picture behind that whole illustration. And, you know, the whole point of washing a baby is so that you can keep the baby and the baby's clean. And it's the same thing with different situations that we look at in our lives, especially when you're dealing with the people who are around you. You can focus on the negative constantly, and you can find reasons not to do the things that God wants you to and try to blame it on them. But that's not going to work with God anyway. He's gonna go, you know what? Yeah, they failed you. Yeah, they did this. Yeah, they did that. What about me? Did I do that to you? Did I ever fail you? Did I ever, you know? And that's the standard that we're going to be having when we stand before the Lord. And so we need to keep that in mind. Specifically, verse 4, it says, he sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. And that, again, is an awesome thing about Jehoshaphat in this passage. He's a guy who really wants to go after it with the Lord. And then look at verse 6. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. You know, when you are walking with the Lord and you're looking to go after God like David did when he was young, and have that kind of heart towards the Lord, you can expect to have a happy heart. And if you're just going to do some kind of plastic game with Jesus, then you can expect this to be nothing but religion and nothing but a burden. But when it's tight with Jesus, man, you know, there's joy in the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be having. So it says, remove the high places. Now, the high places, one of the things that we've run into these before, and I don't know that I've really talked about this in detail. I have in the context of paganism, but the high places were not always places of pagan worship. In fact, usually they started off as places where people would worship the Lord. And so what they were doing was they were trying to make Judaism convenient for them. Because what the Bible says is that they were supposed to be going down to the temple in Jerusalem three times a year. But what the local folks started doing was going, well, we can just worship God on our own, and we can worship God out in nature. And they'd pick a spot on top of a hill someplace, and they'd go out and actually worship the Lord there. But the problem with that is that's not how God designed worship for these people. He wanted them in the temple. He wanted them in the temple for a reason. Everything about the temple in Jerusalem was something that was pointing forward to Jesus. All the sacrifices, all the places that they sacrificed, the way that they sacrificed, the clothing that the priests wore, the materials that the altar was made of, the materials that the inner furniture of the temple was made of. Everything about it was something that was pointing forward to Christ. And so it's just a big, you know, picture, living picture of what God was going to do in bringing his son to the earth and making a sacrifice for us. And God wanted the people there so that they could see this whole thing. There was only one way that God wanted to be worshiped, and he's the one who designed it. We talked about this last week. You know, you come to my house, there's one way that I want you coming into my house. Don't come in through my man door or my garage. Don't come through my back door. Certainly don't come through my window. If you come through my window, I will shoot you in Jesus' name. You know, it's like, you don't want to do that. And so what you want to do is come through the front door. And if you come through the front door, you're welcome. Well, it's the same thing with God. God's got a way that he wants people to approach him, and he's allowed to do that. That's not unreasonable. And so that was what was supposed to be happening, and the people had decided that they were going to do things in a different way, not the way that God had designed it. Something to keep in mind when you're talking about church. This is one of the hard things about being a pastor, because when people don't want to come to church and they want to talk to me about it, do you understand how that goes for me? If somebody's in our fellowship, and this is what happens a lot of times. They'll come for a while, and everything's going good, but when things start going bad in their life, and sometimes it has to do with their walk with God, and sometimes it has to do with trials that they're going through and that kind of stuff, but they decide that they don't want to come. And then what they expect me to do is call them up and beg them to come. And if I don't call them up and beg them to come, they get mad because I didn't call them up and beg them to come. You realize what I'm asking them to do? Please, please, please come and listen to me talk. That's what I'm asking them to do. And I just have a really hard time with that. If you don't want to listen to me, okay, I've just never been really comfortable with it. I am comfortable with the whole idea of you need to be in fellowship and you need to be hanging out with other people, but the whole idea that people need to come to church to hear me, I'm really uncomfortable with that. If you want to come, that's great. And if you don't want to come, I'm certainly not calling you on the phone and begging you to. It was a whole lot easier for me when I wasn't a pastor, when I was talking to friends who were getting out of fellowship, because I'd just go, dude, you need to be in fellowship. You need to be hearing the word. You need to be doing the things that Jesus, calls you to. You realize in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth, and it says, as was his custom. He went into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And what that means is that every Sabbath day that Jesus was at church. He was at the Jewish synagogue. Is he going there to hear a ripping Bible study? Things that he'd never heard before? Probably not, since he's the guy who's behind the whole Bible. He's probably not learning a lot from the elder that was standing up front teaching, is he? So he's not obviously going to hear the word. So there are other things that are going on there. He's going to minister. Here's another thing, you guys. There's coming a time when you are going to plumb the depths of anything that I'm going to tell you. It's kind of like this balance with me when I'm teaching. Because on the one hand, if I was teaching everything that I wanted to teach, right now we would be talking about the fifth dimension of space and the fact that space-time probably has a velocity to it. Because it's stuff that I've been reading in the last week. It's a very cool thing. It explains the motions of galaxies and that kind of stuff. You interested? what I mean? It's like, with a lot of people in my fellowship, it'd just be like, pew, pew, pew. It's like, why are you talking about that? Why are you saying that stuff? And you would not be interested in it. So on the one hand, I'm not gonna talk about every detail that I know about whatever subject, whether we're talking about the Bible or whether we're talking about stuff that goes with the Bible, and all that goes with the Bible. That's why I'm checking it out. I'm not gonna talk about all those kind of details because I'm gonna lose people who've only been coming for a month or two. And so there's always a balance there. So there's coming a time when I'm not gonna be giving you new information. And some of that isn't because I don't know new information, it's because I'm just not going to, because I'm going to lose people. You follow me? So there's only a certain point when I'm here in here in the fellowship that I'm going to take people to as far as information goes, and then you know what I expect you to do? Go get it on your own. Go get it on your own, because what this is spoon-feeding you the Word of God. I'm coming up, and with each one of you, I'm taking a little spoonful of full of the Word of God. I'm going, okay, here it comes. It's the airplane, and in your mouth it goes. And at some point, you got to get up, and you got to get your own spoon. You got to dig into the Word of God yourself, and you got to do it that way. There have been people who have come to me and said that they just weren't. It's like they wanted more. Specifically from me. They wanted more from me. And they've been coming for, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, that kind of thing. And they just felt like they weren't getting enough, so they were going to go someplace else. Which they can do that if they want to. But you know what I expect from people who are 5, 6, 7 years old in the Lord? I don't expect them to come to get anymore. I expect them to come to give. I expect them to come in here, and what you're here for is, yes, to be reminded of the things that you find in the Word of God, but also to be here to minister to others. And the whole idea that you would come to church for the rest of your life and just get is not what God designed us for. That's not the way that it's supposed to go. And so we need to keep that in mind. And it's not that, you know, when I go to church, I like going to church when I'm on vacation and that kind of stuff. And when I go into a church, I expect to go there and hear the word of God and be blessed by it. I expect all those things. But I don't expect the pastor to come up and teach me brand new stuff that I've never seen before. It's not that it doesn't happen, but I don't expect that. I just expect it to be good stuff. You know what? How old am I now? 59 years old. You know what I still drink? Milk. I love milk. I love milk and cookies. Maybe I love it too much. But I love milk, right? It's really good stuff. And so even though I'm not a baby anymore, I still like the milk. And it's the same thing with the Word. Even though I'm not a baby Christian anymore, there are times I still love the milk of the Word. I just love the basics. I like meat, too. I like steak, and I like ribs, and I like chicken's okay. Yeah. But I like all that stuff. I like meat, too. And it's the same thing with the Word. And, you know, milk and meat, and that's not kosher, but that's okay. Because we're not under the law anymore. But anyway, you got all that stuff going. And so that's good. You know, I'm always expecting when I go to a Bible study to receive something from the Lord. But that's not my primary purpose for being there. My primary purpose for being there is to be able to minister to the people who are around me. God, what do you have for me today? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to share with? What do you want me to do here? And I keep my eyes open. In fact, it's one of the reasons that I'm doing as well as I'm doing with the Lord right now, because what I do is I come here and I share all the time. And you should be doing exactly the same thing. Not in the same way. You don't need to come up here, but you know, it's like you go around and you look at people and you see what's going on with them and you pray with them. It's that kind of stuff. In any case, God's got a way that He wants us to approach Him, and there are reasons for those things. And again, high places were not the plan that God had for the people of Israel. Here's another reason that they were a problem. They always devolved. And what they devolved into were places of pagan worship. And so they would go from high places devoted to the Lord, and then all these other pagan idols would get brought in over time, and pretty soon they're just places of pagan worship. That's what he's talking about when he says he takes away the high places and the wooden images from Judah. And so in that, he did awesome. In verses 7 through 9, it says, also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hael, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with him he sent Levites, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, Elishama, and Jehoram the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And so you see him sending his leaders out to teach the word of God to his people. And these guys took the book of the law with them. They had their Bibles with them. You keep your Bible with you? So you don't have any excuses anymore for that. I used to carry a little pocket Bible around with me. It was like a little New Testament. When I was on jobs and stuff like that, if I didn't have a lot of times my Bible would be in my truck or something, but I'd just stick it in my back pocket in case somebody asked me a question. And, you know, so I could open it up and I could share with them, because I don't have the whole Bible memorized. I do memorize many times where places are in the Bible and things that I want to share with guys, but I would have it with me all the time. And the reason that I had it with me was because there were going to be opportunities that would come up, and I was going to take the opportunities to be able to share with the people who were around me. Now you got cell phones. You have the whole Bible on your cell phone with a little search app on there, and you can even pull out Greek and, you know, all of this stuff. We've got an awesome opportunity to be able to share with people, and that's one of the things that Jehoshaphat did with his people. He not only took away the high places, but he was proactive in that he was reaching out to his own people and sharing with them what the Word of God had to say. And because of that, this guy was blessed.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.